Well, good morning once again. And Lord, good morning to you once again. Lord, we sang a lot about service today. We love serving you. Lord, fill this place with you. Fill us with your love. Lord, we seek your heart. We seek you. A closer walk with you. Lord, be the firm foundation that we need. Change us. I pray, Lord, this morning that you would open your word for us, that you would open heaven for us, and that you would pour into our hearts more of you, your ways, your teaching, Lord. May your will be done in our lives. Bless your people this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 118. We didn't read the whole thing. You know, in Matthew 26:30 and Mark 14:26, it mentions that after the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn, literally a song. Psalm 118 is the one that they sang. This was on their way to Gethsemane, to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus, of course, was arrested. Would God make us go through anything he wouldn't go through? No. He kind of proved that, didn't he? He can say, I've been there. You can get through it too. You know, the English language is one of the most difficult languages to learn. There is. You think about it with all the, you know, the first thing I think of is O-U-G-H. How do you pronounce that? That has so many different pronunciations. Makes it difficult. Is it rough? Is it slew? Is it slough? Is it And there's a lot of words that sound the same, but they have different spellings. The word so, S-E-W. The word so, S-O. Then there's S-O-W. It complicates things, doesn't it? Wood and wood, W-O-O-D and W-O-U-L-D, completely different meanings, different spelling. The word plain and plain. Are you talking about an airplane or are you talking about something else? And the one everybody seems to get wrong all the time on Facebook is there. There, there, and there. But that's not the only one. There's also two. 2, T-O. T-W-O. T-O-O. You know, somewhere inside me there's a rebellious part that wants to write T-E-W every time one of those words comes up. I know, anyway, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? Because there's one more word I want to mention. Altar. A-L-T-A-R. And then there's A-L-T-E-R. One is where you go to get the other, isn't it? Because we're talking about change. That happens at the altar. Anybody in here want change in their life? Yeah. The altar. We have an altar here. You're welcome to kneel at it and pray at it anytime. I don't care if it's in the middle of my sermon, because that's important. Just getting close to Jesus. In Psalm 118, it talks about the stone with which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner, the cornerstone. The word refused could be despised, abhorred, or rejected. Was Jesus rejected? So we shouldn't be too surprised if we're rejected too, especially if we're rejected because of him. Praise God when that happens, because we're counted worthy enough for that to happen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It doesn't matter what's happening. We still will rejoice. That's a choice. Verse 25 says, save now, I beseech thee. We sing about that. The Hebrew word for that is Hosanna. Save. Save now. That's actually from, I think it's Matthew 21, where Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they were calling out. They wanted to be saved. Or did they? They wanted things to be better for them. But did they really want to be altered? Did they want to be changed? Because a little bit later, in verse 26, and it's what Jesus said to them, or Jesus commented on that. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba v'shem Adonai. Jesus said, you're not going to see me again until you say that. In other words, until you believe it. Until you recognize who I am. Then you will. Verse 27, God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. What is the horns of the altar? There's a description in on Exodus 27. 1 through 8, it talks about it. And thou shalt, in verse 1 and 2, that's all I'm going to read. And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 80, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horns shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with brass. Brass. brass in the Bible always represents judgment. The altar was a place of judgment. The altar was a place of sacrifice where the sacrifice was offered. It was twice the height of the mercy seat, which should tell us that the atonement more than saves us. It glorifies God. The Bible also refers to it as the altar of sacrifice. The horns of the altar was a place of seeking mercy. In 1 Kings 1:50, Adonijah I'll just read what it says. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. 1 Kings 2:28, another man, Joab. Then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled into the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. They both were seeking mercy from Solomon, because Solomon David had left Solomon some unfinished business. Adonijah tried to force himself onto the throne instead of Solomon. And that didn't work. Solomon granted him mercy. And that lasted just long enough for Adonijah to try it again. And then he was killed. Joab was seeking mercy because he followed Adonijah. But he was killed. He was killed because he had shed a lot of innocent blood. Mercy. Can we find mercy at our altar? The altar of sacrifice is the cross and altar. Yes. In Hebrew, the word for altar is misbayak. It means an instrument of slaughter by which a sacrifice was lifted up. Does that sound familiar? Was there a difference between the brazen altar and the cross? In appearance, there was. The brazen altar was rectangular. And the cross isn't. Or is it? Is that shaped like a rectangle? It's got four corners. You have to look at it really close, and I have to thank Jonathan Kahn for his pointing this out. Because he says, and he convinced me, the cross is a rectangle turned inside out. Do you see it? Why is that significant? The four corners of the rectangle look outward toward God, but the four corners of the cross look inward toward God. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. The four horns were at the four corners. There's four directions. The width, the depth, the height, and the length. That made me think of Ephesians 3:17-19, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, all understanding. It should make us think of the sacrifice that he made, because he went willingly. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. for me, for you. The joy set before him. The joy that was set before him is us. He loves us that much. His love is deep and long and wide and high. It's so wide that it covers anybody that chooses it. It's so deep, it'll go all the way down to hell. It's so long, it's from everlasting to everlasting. It's so high, it reaches all the way to heaven. To know the love of Christ. You know, if we don't think about his love when we look at the cross, then maybe we're not looking at it right or enough. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. I'm going to read a note out of my Bible. It quotes that, and then it says, this is unusual since there is no evidence that a sacrifice was ever tied to the altar. And yet, commentators have been talking about tying the sacrifice to the altar. But the concept was fulfilled when Christ was nailed to the cross. And pictures I've seen also show him tied to it. He wasn't just nailed to it, he was tied to it. So the sacrifice was binded with cords. Tied to the horns. In the Bible, a horn represents strength. What was tied to the horns? His arms. In the Bible, arms represent strength. There could have been a battle there. Who's stronger, the horns of the altar or the arms of the Lord? The Lord could have won that pretty easily. But yet he yielded to that strength. He yielded to the cross. He yielded to the horns of the altar. The altar of sacrifice. He endured the cross. You know, it doesn't just say that he died on the cross. It says he endured it. He told his disciples that he could call down 12 legions of angels. A legion is somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000. 12,000 would be, well, that's going to be a lot of angels. One angel can wipe out 185,000 people. He didn't have to be on that cross. That would have been enough to wipe out everybody in the world, and it still is. But he chose for the joy set before him. He endured. He stayed on the cross. And he did it for you. He did it for me. Yeah, I'm not going to get into the pain and everything he went through. That's for another time. This morning we celebrate communion. Because this morning we celebrate what he did for us. He said, do this in remembrance of me. We're supposed to keep it fresh in our mind. We do this once a month. Because we don't want it to be too common. But also, we want it to remain fresh. So we don't do it once a year. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And he also said, do this until I come back, because we have that promise, don't we? I'm going to ask John and Ricky to come forward and pass out the elements. The Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, communion. What does it really mean? Communion speaks of relationship. And that's what it's all about. Renewing our relationship, because we have to do that constantly. You know, you don't just be nice to your wife maybe once a year, not if you expect to remain married. Maybe you like sleeping in the doghouse, I don't know. But it's a relationship is something that, not just that we do, but it's something we become. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in the blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head. And I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. And whatever you find there, if you find something wrong or something that might keep you from doing this, talk to God about it. Ask forgiveness. Ask for restoration. Ask for whatever the situation requires, whatever you need. Because this isn't said so that people can not do this. This is said so we can examine our heart and do this. Should have done this one first. It's easier to put over. Thank you, John. Thank you, Ricky. So let's spend a little bit of time with the Lord. Has everybody been served? We don't want to miss anybody. Thank you, Lord. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. You may eat the bread. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Thank you, Lord. You may drink the cup. Lord, we thank you for the bread and for the cup. We thank you, Lord, for what they represent, your body and your blood. We thank you. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence here. I thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd seal your word in us. Lord, bless your people today. Bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Does anybody need prayer this morning? I'm going to ask anybody that needs prayer to come forward. We'll pray for you. For everybody else, you're dismissed. That concludes our service.